Why was hunger in our country almost eradicated in the 1970s, only to come to a deadly bloom in the decades since? Why are the ingredient crops of processed foods heavily subsidized, but fruit and vegetables aren't? What's the face of childhood hunger in the U.S. today? And what can we do about it? Good evening. This is Lehigh Valley Discourse, and our topic tonight is hunger. And no, it's not hunger in faraway lands. It's hunger in the United States. And in fact, we might even find out tonight in the Lehigh Valley. I'm John Pierce, along with Ray Schwab. Ray is doing our board for us tonight. Ray, are you ready?
Oh, I'm always ready, John.
Yes, he is. And our guests tonight are three women who are heavily involved in this whole area of hunger and searching for answers. Tonight we're talking about hungry for answers, food insecurity in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Reverend Diane Caraha, who is chaplain at Luther Crest and is very heavily involved in the Crop Walk, which is coming up. Diane, what date?
October 13th.
And that's a Sunday. And we'll talk more about that a little bit later. Welcome.
Thank you.
We have Marcy Lightwood, a voice which is very familiar to our listeners here at WDIY. Marcy, welcome.
Thank you so much.
And Marcy is on the air on Morning Edition very early in the morning. She's also on the air with Celtic Music. And sometime you're going to explain to me why it's Celtic and not Celtic, Marcy. All right. Marky. And Marcy is representing the Trinity Soup Kitchen. And our third guest is Janet Nye, who is representing the Second Harvest Food Bank. Welcome to you all.
Thank you, John.
Ray, I have to tell you, these women wear almost, among them, wear almost as many different hats as Queen Elizabeth.
I think that's true.
With all the different activities that they're into, it's amazing. Let's start off by asking Marcy to fill us in on what's happening with the soup kitchen with which you're involved, Marcy.
I am the social worker at the Trinity Soup Kitchen, which is located at Trinity Episcopal Church on Market Street here in Bethlehem. And that soup kitchen's been in business for 32 years, feeding the poor, unemployed, mentally ill, and temporarily disadvantaged people of the greater Bethlehem area. When I started working there about 5 years ago, we were feeding about 80 people each day. And in the 5 years, that number has just swelled to where most days we feed about 150 individuals every day. We also provide them with linkages to other social service agencies and incidental material needs like shampoo, soap, deodorant, that kind of thing that you can't buy with the food stamps or the SNAP program.
So your population there at the Trinity Food Bank has pretty much doubled in 5 years.
Yeah, it is not a food bank. We are a soup kitchen. We serve a meal from noon to one every single day and every weekday, Monday through Friday. And we also provide groceries that they can take home with them if they are eating there, but we don't have a food pantry per se.
All right, so that's the difference between a food bank and a soup kitchen.
Right.
Do you charge any money for the food that is dispensed, that the people eat?
No, we don't ask any questions either. Everyone's allowed to come in and eat, and there's no charge. There is a donation box, and on a real good day, we might get $5 or $6 in it. Mm-hmm. But we don't ask for that at all.
I'm asking because I read a book recently by a pastor who claims that if you charge people, even if it's a little bit, even if it's a nickel or a dime or something, that they appreciate it more. So just a little food for thought there. And who comes into the soup kitchen, generally speaking? What kind of a population would we be seeing?
Well, it would be hard to categorize them because they come in all stripes. We have a significant number of young men who have never been employed. Most of them are disabled in some way, mentally or physically disabled or both. And that seems to be the largest portion of our population. There are some elderly people. There, in fact, is a couple who has been coming for 32 years. They have been there almost every day. since wow. then. Yeah.
So the kitchen has been going all that time.
It has.
For yeah. 32.
Mm-hmm. 32. Started out with a bunch of women from Trinity, had a great big pot of soup on the back tailgate of a station wagon parked at, I think it was Broad and New Streets in downtown Bethlehem. They were ladling out soup, and pretty soon we got situated in a permanent location.
That sounds a little bit like the beginnings of Meals on Wheels back in the Second World War yeah. over in London. And it was women who got together. I mean, the women are the ones who provide our food for us, really, really, in our societies. So it makes sense. Diane Caraha, Reverend Diane Caraha, who is a chaplain at Luthercrest. And Diane, what is your involvement with the whole hunger movement?
I've been involved with hunger movement from, I want to say, well, in the 1970s. I remember being an organist and choir director at a church in New Jersey. And one day when I was practicing, I started feeling guilty that I had this pleasure of, and the time, to practice, and realizing most people didn't have that, didn't have the time, didn't have a piano, didn't have any of that. I asked my pastor, you know, what could I do to make a difference in hunger? People who are hungry, people who have to spend their lives raising the food or walking for the food or whatever. And he suggested going to a soup kitchen. I said, something bigger. I want to make a larger difference. And he suggested the nascent Bread for the World. And then a little after that, there was an involvement locally in Crop Hunger Walk. And when we moved up to the Lehigh Valley in 1980, I started getting involved here. And in fact, I was pregnant with our first child. And that was I found out later on, that was the second Allentown Crop Hunger Walk. So right from the very beginning, our family has been walking. We've been able to do that together, which is a wonderful thing.
I've heard it referred to as the Crop Walk, but the title is Crop Hunger Walk.
It is the Crop Hunger Walk. Just to help people know what we're doing, we're helping people who are hungry. Actually, Crop is the fundraising arm for Church World Service, which helps people in three different ways. People who are the victims or survivors of disasters. The second thing that they do are helping people with development assistance. And the third thing that they help people with is refugee resettlement. With the development assistance, that helps people on a long-term basis. But anyway, that's what we're raising the money for. 75% of our money that we raise goes towards those three things: disaster relief, development assistance, and refugee resettlement. 25% comes back to the Valley, and each walk has the opportunity to say, this is where we want to let our money be used in the Valley. Allentown has its own, we divide our 25% between the Allentown Area Ecumenical Food Bank, and the other half goes to the Lehigh County Conference of Churches for their food programs, which include Daybreak and also their soup kitchen. So that's where our 25% goes. Bethlehem, Easton have their own
crop
food
walk.
Right, they have their own crop walk, but they also have their own recipients of that 25%. And I'm wondering if Trinity
gets
is one of them.
Trinity gets a significant amount
I'm
the
not
crop
surprised.
Walk.
Yeah,
it's one
that's
of our
very
top
cool.
donors. Yeah,
yeah. yeah.
And that's going to take place. The crop walk the crop hunger walk,
yeah.
Is going to be on October 13th.
October 13th in Allentown, Bethlehem, Easton, Quakertown, Reading. Many of them.
So
are on the
listeners who
13th.
Would want to participate would have to get to their local
congregations, or they can call 1-888-CWS for Church World Service. CROP. So it's 888-CWS-CROP. Or, even better, they can go online. And online at www.cropwalk.org, they can click on the little icons that have a map of the United States. There's an icon for Pennsylvania. You click on that. You click on Allentown, Bethlehem, Easton, wherever you want to click on. You can form a team. You can walk yourself. You can also walk on the web. You don't even have to hit the streets if you can't do it that day. You can walk online, and you can get family, friends, coworkers to do that with you. Again, raising the money to help Trinity, to help Lehigh County Conference of Churches, to help the Allentown Ecumenical Food Bank, and all these other wonderful things in the valley.
Just when I thought spiders were the only creatures walking on webs.
There you go. Oh, my gosh, that's great.
Yeah. Listen, we are having a very good time talking this evening with three ladies who are heavily involved in the whole movement of trying to combat hunger here in the Lehigh Valley. And we're going to be talking about hunger across the country as well. We invite you to give us a call. We had a caller a minute ago and apparently had to hang up. But Marcy, what is our number in case somebody would like to call and enter our conversation?
Give us a call at 610-758-8810. That one just falls right off my lips.
Spoken like a pro. So we have talked about Soup Kitchen. We've talked about the Crop Walk. Janet, Nye, what else should we be mentioning here as we're talking about combating hunger?
Well, I come from the Second Harvest Food Bank of Lehigh Valley in northeast Pennsylvania. We have a network in six counties of close to 200 member agencies. And many of them are engaged in emergency food assistance, emergency food pantries, soup kitchens like Marcy's at Trinity, and some shelters as well.
There is a film that is being shown now in the Lehigh Valley called A Place at the Table. It's going to be shown tomorrow evening.
Tomorrow evening at First Presbyterian Church in Allentown, 3231 Tillman Street, at 7 o'clock. We will show A Place at the Table again, and then we've shown it. This will be our fourth showing, I think, at the church. And there will be time for people to talk about the film afterwards, note their reactions to the fact that there is hunger in the United States and what it looks like. We have several families who are represented in the film, from suburban to urban Philadelphia, and it really gives a good picture. It's an excellent documentary of hunger and poverty in the United States.
And we're also showing it at Luther Crest on October 29th, Tuesday, October 29th at 2:30 in the afternoon. So if you can't get to the First Presbyterian Church showing, you can go to Luther Crest if you have that opportunity.
Way over in West Allentown.
Way over in West Allentown, yes.
And Diane, I'm going to announce for the first time in public, I think, the reason that you took the position at Luther Crest. You are a huge Kmart fan and spend much time at Ollie's. That was the hook that got Diane over there. she protested.
But you probably know this, John. I am moving into Luther Crest within the next 5 months, and I am so excited about that.
Well, good for you.
Yes.
And there are many folks, many very, very good folks over at Luther Crest.
You know.
You have great company over there.
Yes.
I'd like to say just another word about A Place at the Table is that I'd really encourage you to go to where it's being shown in a public place, because there's usually some discussion around that, and usually there will be some resources there that help lead you to places that need your volunteer help or your dollars or your help in some way. However, if that is not possible for you, it's also available on Netflix. And I feel very strongly that everyone should try and see that film, A Place at the Table. It's a full-length film, and it's really quite enlightening about our food policies.
I think it's about an hour and 10 minutes long.
And you can purchase it as well at Amazon, places like that sell DVDs. And if you would like, if you have a group of people, I don't care how small or how large the group is, you want to show it and arrange for some maybe a panel discussion or some discussion about the film, give me a call at my phone number at work, and I'll be glad to work that out with you, find a place and so on. There are ways that we can get hold of a copy of the DVD so that we can show it.
Now, this is Janet Nye speaking, and Janet, your phone number is?
484- 893-1106 or email me at jney@caclv.org.
That's great. Very good. Other wonderful thing is when we do show it, wherever it's being shown, there are things that people can do right at that time. Besides the discussion, people can sign a petition to make a difference. People can also write letters. So there are some things for advocacy that can be done right there at the showings.
And it's a documentary, and it's from this year, so it's brand new.
Yes.
It was released this year. It was filmed primarily in 2010 and 2011. So there's a lot of reference in the film to the reauthorization of the Child Nutrition Act, which actually has already occurred in 2011. But that issue will be coming up again. And right now, the issue facing us is passage of the Farm Bill, which provides funding for SNAP, the food stamp program.
Okay. And SNAP stands for?
Supplementary Nutrition Assistance Program, formerly known as food stamps.
All right.
The correct name is SNAP.
Almost everybody still talks about food stamps and probably will for years to come, but SNAP is now the official title.
And I think it's really important, and Janet and Marcy can probably best speak to this. The people who are receiving food stamps, the people very often are those who are employed and just can't make it from paycheck to paycheck, so they need that support because it's they are employed but really underemployed and sometimes working more than one job.
One of the reasons that I like to encourage myself to use the word SNAP as opposed to food stamps is that it isn't. It used to be food stamps, actual coupons that you used when you went to the store. Now you use what's called an electronic benefit transaction card. It's like a credit card. It has a measure of dignity added to the program because now you have a credit card that you can use. You don't need to be very obvious with any kinds of coupons.
That's
or
a great point, yeah, as you're standing there at the cashier.
And there's still quite a stigma attached to getting that kind of help. And as Diane said, sometimes it's employed people. There is a wonderful little film going around the internet right now about a soldier returning from Afghanistan who needs to use those benefits. And he claims that he fought for them and he fought for the freedom to have them and he is entitled to have them and gives quite a good story about that. But it's quite true that all sorts of people need that kind of assistance and could not live without it and will have a very hard time if and when it gets cut.
We are chatting this evening on Lehigh Valley Discourse with Marcy Lightwood, Janet Nye, and Reverend Diane Carahaw on the subject of hunger. We invite you to call in if you would like to ask a question or make a comment. Our number to call is 610-758-8810. We're taking a break. We'll be back in 60 seconds.
For program support on WDIY, we thank the Independent Schools of the Lehigh Valley, presenting an Independent Schools Informational Fair Sunday, October 6, 2 to 4 p.m. at DeSales University Center in Center Valley. Participating schools include the Hillside School in Macungie, Moravian Academy in Bethlehem, the Perkiomen School in Pennsburg, and the Swain School of Allentown. The fair includes exhibits and information sessions. For information, 610-691-1600, extension 310, or lvis.eventbrite.com.
Our topic is hunger here on Lehigh Valley Discourse. Reverend Diane Carahaw. Diane, I'd like to ask you why do you think hunger is so little in the news today?
Well, as Janet just said a couple of moments ago, hunger is invisible. There is hunger in the United States and hunger throughout the world, but that's why I really appreciate that Marcy suggested that everybody see A Place at the Table, because it shows us who is hungry in the United States, why we don't see it. But I think another piece of it is it's just an ongoing thing, and I think people, because it might not affect us, you know, we might know somebody who has cancer, we might know somebody who has leukemia or another disease, but who do we know who is hungry unless we do work at a soup kitchen, unless we do work at a food bank? That's why I think people don't talk about it, and it doesn't make the news.
I think another factor is right now in the news, and for the last 3 or 4 years, we hear so much about obesity. And people don't seem to understand that obesity and hunger go hand in hand. When you are hungry and when you have very little money to spend on food, you'll buy the most calories you can for your dollar. And often those kind of calories are the kind of calories that kind of stick to your ribs, as the Pennsylvania Dutch say. They'll be empty calories and things like bread and prepared foods.
The other thing that I think folks don't always understand is that hunger in America is not the bloated bellies that one might associate with hunger in other parts of the world, with malnutrition and so on. But it does exist, and the way we generally refer to it in this country is people have low food security, meaning that they don't always know when they are going to be able to eat again. And according to USDA, one in six Americans is food insecure, meaning they don't know where their meal is going to be coming from.
This is a new term for me. Food insecurity.
Right. 15%. One in every six. That's a staggering amount.
It's amazing.
So children who don't have enough to eat, how can they perform well in school? Adults who don't have enough to eat, how can they perform well in the workplace? It's one of those insidious things. The other thing is talking about even international hunger. People don't usually die of hunger itself. Their bodies are run down by not having proper nutrition over time, and they succumb to other diseases. A big thing is if they don't have access to clean water, and they get diarrhea. Diarrhea is a deadly disease for somebody who is malnourished. It might not be as deadly for us, but it's awful. So, but I have to say that over the 30-some years that I've been working around hunger issues, there has been progress. We've made a difference. From 40,000 people dying every single day, 40,000 people dying every single day, we still have an unconscionable statistic, but it's decreased. 20 to 25,000 people every day, men, women, children. Actually, in the reverse order, children, women, men, in that order usually, are dying every single day.
In the United States?
No. Throughout the world of malnutrition and hunger-related diseases. Preventable things. Preventable. In fact, you know, back in the 1970s, as you mentioned, they were actually making progress. Even today, they are making progress, but it's so much slower. Henry Kissinger said in the 1970s, I think it was in 1973, he said that the only thing preventing us from being able to wipe out hunger would be a lack of political will. And that's it, in a nutshell.
Yes, political will. Mm-hmm. Our topic is hunger. It's a difficult topic to... we don't want to think about it. I mean, maybe that's one of the reasons, too, that it's not so much in the news. And I think Marcy has a very good point that when you look around, all you have to do is go into a restaurant, and I do that frequently, just look around at the people in there. So many people who are overweight. Now, I don't know if they're technically obese, but they're just overweight. And then I'm not going to think about hunger. I'm going to think about push yourself away from the table instead of coming to the table.
There's another thing called food deserts, and the movie gives us some pretty good pictures of that. But I want to tell you what it looks like here in Bethlehem. Among the people that I serve and I know, there's a gentleman who is probably in his late 60s or early 70s. He's had diabetes for some years, and he is somewhat overweight, although not obese. He has a great deal of trouble walking because of neuropathy and some foot problems, which are common with diabetes. And he lives downtown Bethlehem on Broad Street. Now, for him to get food, he can go to 7-Eleven, which is about, maybe 3 or 4 blocks from him. He can go to the Linden Street Market, which is another 6 blocks away from him. Or he can walk out Broad Street to Sims Market, which is another 9 blocks for him. This gentleman has trouble walking in the door of the soup kitchen, which is about a block and a half away from him. He's exhausted by the time he gets there. I want you to think about how difficult it is for him to go buy food. Now, luckily, we had a volunteer at the soup kitchen who has taken him under her wing, and she takes him grocery shopping once in a while. But I think nothing of stopping on my way home from work for a quart of milk or a head of lettuce or something. This gentleman and many, many others in downtown Bethlehem can't quite do that. It's almost a food desert. The other thing about that food desert is if you go to some markets that are in inner cities, you can't find really nutritious, fresh food to eat. You can't find fresh fruits and vegetables. It's too expensive for shippers to ship them into those small locations for a small amount. You can't find fresh meats. And so if you live in an area like that and your transportation is non-existent or too expensive for you, you will succumb to eating Rice Krispie treats instead of rice, and you'll eat apple Pop-Tarts instead of apples. And that's the truth of hunger in America.
This is Lehigh Valley Discourse. We invite you to join our conversation if you have a comment or question. The number to call is 610-758-8810. Diane Caraha, Janet Nye, and Marcy Lightwood, our own Marcy Lightwood, yes, of WDIY fame. Marcy has just a few minutes left with us. You have given us a good description, Marcy, of some problems that people can have. One of them is just their own mobility and ability, therefore, to walk to a place to get food, or that they don't have locomotion of their own, that they have to use buses maybe, and the bus routes are not going very near where they live and where the food is. And this can be a problem, too. Let's remind everybody that SNAP is now the new name for food stamps. When did this come into being, SNAP?
I don't know the exact date. It's been it was several years now.
Okay. I would guess it was 5 or 6 years ago.
It's that long.
Yeah.
And I'm still hearing that term, food stamps, of course.
I don't think we'll ever stop calling it that, but I do like to encourage people to call it SNAP.
Exactly. And for the reason that you mentioned, that it's less obvious at the checkout counter, that people have a plastic card the way many of us do when we check out. A person who is in need of food, maybe listening to us right now, or a listener knows somebody who is in need of food, where would be some good places to go for some help?
I think the first thing you'll want to do is call the Second Harvest Food Bank, 610-434-0875, and ask staff there to tell you the nearest pantry or soup kitchen to you, and they can guide you to any pantry in a 6-county area, Lehigh, Northampton, Carbon, Monroe, Pike, and Wayne counties. There are food pantries in all of those counties. If they're outside the county, there are other food banks that they could call, and we can also give them that information. But that's the first thing, because we know where the pantries are.
And again, the phone number, Janet, for that?
610-434-0875.
Good advice. Second Harvest Food Bank is a name that is familiar to WDIY. Marcy, we've partnered with them.
We certainly have. We, during our pledge drives, I think 2 times in a row, we gave away a can of food or a box of food with every pledge, and that food did go to the Second Harvest Food Bank.
Wow.
It was a very good partnership.
That's great.
And we are grateful. That is one of the blessings of this community, is that we have a generous community that cares about people who are hungry, and they donate generously, not only to Second Harvest Food Bank, but to many of the pantries and soup kitchens. They're all receiving food on a regular basis. Congregations support all of the pantries and bring food in on a regular basis. And then, of course, the soup kitchens receive donations, and more important, all of these, most of these programs are run primarily by volunteers. A lot of volunteer effort going into all of these places.
And churches are heavily involved, huh?
Right. Very much
Many
so.
Many of them are, yes.
In fact, the three of you are connected in some way to churches who are doing, which mm-hmm. are doing help with,
That's
with
right.
hunger.
That's right. I also wanted to put in a plug for gardeners. This Ooh, time
yes.
of year, right. many soup kitchens and food pantries depend on all of that extra produce that you have, and you may take that to your nearest food bank. Will Second Harvest take it?
Yes.
Yes, and the Trinity Soup Kitchen is quite grateful right. for that.
And the Allentown Area Ecumenical Food Bank also. Yes.
Yeah, so all the poor people in town are eating tomatoes these days.
Right. and zucchini.
and zucchini.
and the other thing about gardens, let me just say something more about that. In food desert areas, there are people who are doing community gardens. And I know that there's a Bethlehem community garden, and I do believe that they're starting one up in Allentown, too, where people can come together as a co-op and be able to share produce with one another. And it is such a wonderful, wonderful thing to be able to bring that fresh produce into people's diets and they themselves growing it. And in fact, I serve on the Presbyterian National Committee on Self-Development of People. We give grants to grassroots groups that are dealing with poverty and difficult social systems. And some of the projects that we support are people who have come together and have said, we want to make a change in our diet. We don't want to see the spike in diabetes that is a result of a very poor diet. We want to come together and make our diets better and also be able sometimes to sell that produce for income. Let me just tell you very quickly about one project that we funded was of young people who had come together. They realized that their diets were bad and they were experiencing diabetes. They now have a beekeeping enterprise as well as community gardens, and then they barter the honey and the produce with people who raise cattle and also fish, so that they are able to get the protein in their diets. It's just really cool. So that kind of creative communities coming together is so cool.
We've been doing a lot of work at the Second Harvest Food Bank to increase the amount of fresh produce, including purchasing a new cooler for that purpose to keep the fresh produce in. We have a garden there at the food bank. The food bank is a program of Community Action Committee of the Lehigh Valley, and we have programs throughout the Lehigh Valley. One of them is called the West Ward Neighborhood Partnership. It's located in Easton in the West Ward, strangely enough. And our staff there has done a lot of work with the local residents to promote community gardens, whether it's a plot in your backyard or a piece of vacant land that somebody will let you cultivate. And that could be encouraged throughout the valley, even downtown. Someone said to me, well, downtown Allentown, where are you going to have any green to be able to grow something? I have a friend who grows things in pots on her roof. And there, you don't need a big plot to get something to feed a family. So community gardens are really worthwhile.
In Detroit, they have raised gardens in vacant lots. Very cool.
All kinds of ideas out there. And Diane, you make an interesting point that when I think about hunger, I think about quantity of food, that there's just not enough food for the person. But you're talking about nutritional value
That's right.
in the food, too.
Right. That's right.
And a lot of times you will see, a mother who I assume, I don't know if I'm correct on this always, but could very well be a single parent, has two or three children with her, and they're in a convenience store, and the chips are going across the cash register, and mommy, I want to have something that I know is not very nutritious, and yet it's something that will at least be satisfying for the moment.
I think it's a combination of availability, but it's also it also involves education too, helping people to have to recognize what is good nutrition, because very often they've been raised by people who didn't know good nutrition stuff themselves, and so it gets passed on from generation to generation.
Right. This is Janet Nye.
One of my favorite scenes in A Place at the Table has a teacher explaining to children and passing around for them to hold in their hands a honeydew melon. Mm. She's been trying to educate them on what the food looks like, because they're eating chips and cookies, and that's, in fact, one of the children in the movie has a primary diet of chips and cookies. And so she's encouraging them to understand about fruits and vegetables and to hold this honeydew, and then they go to eat it. And they go at it with such vigor, and they love it. They are thrilled with it. They all say, oh, they like it better than chips. Well, I don't know. Maybe they were just pleasing the teacher, but
yeah,
but they all loved it.
Yes, indeed. Well, if we're not, I mean, in general, with children, exposure is a huge thing in all realms of life. If you're not exposed to things, how, if you've never seen a melon, well, how are you going to, why would you go buy one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
Watch any children at a potluck dinner, and they will gravitate towards the least nutritious things anyway. I think there might be something inborn in people that they want to get the most concentrated calories they can, and it might just be an instinct. But we need to train our children and teach our children better than that.
Yes.
Well said. Marcy, we thank you for joining us for this time that you could. Marcy has to leave at this point, but you will be listening to her on WDIY on Monday mornings, usually for Morning Edition, from 6 until 9 a.m. See you later, Marcy. We are continuing our conversation now with Diane Caraha and Janet Nye. Our topic is hunger and what we can do about it. Our number to call if you'd like to join our conversation is 610-758-8810. Time for a break, and we'll be back in 60 seconds.
Our fall membership drive runs October 11th through the 19th. Once again, you have the opportunity to buy back several on-air pledge days. Visit WDIY.org and make your donation today. If we raise $15,000 by October 10th, we will push back the start of our pledge drive by 3 days. That will give us a pledge-free weekend. We have just under $10,000 to go. It's quick, easy, and safe. Log on to WDIY.org, make your donation today, and enjoy more of the programs you love on WDIY. Thanks.
Ray Schwab and John Pierce with you here on Lehigh Valley Discourse. Our topic this evening is hunger in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. We have mentioned several times a movie which is making the rounds at this point. It's called A Place at the Table. It's, I believe, an hour and 10 minutes long. It's been shown in several churches, is going to be shown at First Presbyterian Church in Allentown, corner of Tillman and Cedar Crest, tomorrow evening, Friday, at
7 o'clock.
And then at Luther Crest?
On Tuesday, October 29th at 2:30 in the afternoon.
Okay, so that's a long, long time away.
So, Janet, I want to ask you, the House of Representatives approved a bill last week to cut $39 billion from the Supplementary Nutrition Assistance Program. Do you think it's a good idea to sort of cut the fat or try and sort of cut back on the food stamps program?
From the where I sit, it would be a horrible mistake to cut back on the SNAP program. We are not serving all of the eligible people now. People are hungry. If that cut holds, if it goes through, the effort that Feeding America and all of the food banks around the country would have to put out would be to double the amount of food that they are distributing to make up for the lost meals, if lost because the dollars were cut on the food stamp program or the SNAP program.
Now, what percentage of the annual budget is that?
Of the annual budget of
for the SNAP program, how big of
it's a 10% cut.
Okay, that's pretty significant.
Yes, it is a significant cut. We are hopeful that it will not hold. That when the House and Senate get together, if there is a cut, it will be significantly smaller. Last year, the Senate Agriculture Committee did propose a $4 billion cut. It would be great if we didn't see any cuts, but we don't know how this is going to play out. The food stamp program, the SNAP program is a part, is funded through the Farm Bill, which expires. The current edition of the Farm Bill expires at the end of this month. And some different things can happen. What the House proposed was to pull SNAP out of the Farm Bill and have it funded separately under its own title. We could see an extension of the Farm Bill as it exists today, and with no cuts and no changes, or we could see some small cuts. We just don't know at this point what's going to happen. It's not unusual for Congress to extend a Farm Bill. Farm Bill has its roots in the Depression in the 30s. And it has grown and grown, and lots of different titles, different programs have been incorporated. SNAP, formerly food stamps, that program was created in the 30s as well. And every 5 years, there's a reauthorization of the Farm Bill. And that's what we're looking at now. Farm Bill will expire. It has to be reauthorized or extended.
Will we know the results by the end of this year?
I hope so.
Bill? Never sure, huh? Okay. What can we talked about churches' involvement in this whole area of hunger? What can the faith community do better to assist? What can the community do to help? You know, what's our role here?
I think number one is the awareness of hunger. People need to get to know the facts. They need to find out where the pantry is or the soup kitchen. Go in and visit. Take some time to volunteer. It's wonderful how the community supports all of these programs. Continue to do it. And say thank you to the volunteers who work so hard in feeding people. But that is not the solution. That is not that's not going to solve the problem of hunger. That will feed people, but it doesn't solve the problem. What we need to do is to get mad, to speak out, to make sure that you're in touch with Congress, with your representatives in Congress, whether representative or senator, and let that person know what you think about people going hungry. If you don't think it's the right thing, then you need to let them know. And every member of Congress has an email address. That's the best way to get to them, email or telephone. Letters going to Washington do not get there very quickly, so email and telephones, that works best. The other thing that you can get involved in is, in a legislative way, is in the state of Pennsylvania, we have a program called the State Food Purchase Program. It provides money to each county in the state to purchase food to be used the way we do it in the pantry. And so we are the agent for Lehigh and Northampton counties. We get money from the state through Lehigh and Northampton counties, and we buy food, and it supplements the donated product that we have in the warehouse. And every year we have a task before us to convince our legislators to increase the amount of money that is allocated for that program. It is currently at $18.338 million for this year. Next year, we'd like to see it up at $21 million.
Now, $21 million for what, for these two counties?
For all the counties.
In
we
the
get
state.
A portion. Yeah, we get a portion of that. The money goes to every county in the state.
Okay.
It's allocated on a formula having to do with the poverty and unemployment and that sort of thing. So every county gets a different amount. $21 million across the state would help a great deal. It's not going to be as much as we need, but it would help a great deal.
Now, suppose a listener, and I think it's a very good point, go in and introduce yourself and say that you're interested in trying to do something about hunger, and is there any way that I could volunteer to do something with a food pantry, a soup kitchen, where does the person start? Would it be at the phone number that you gave us before?
That's probably the easiest way, unless you happen to, you know, have to be in a place, say you worship in a church that runs a pantry or something like that. But we are a good source of information for you, whether it's where you need to go to get food, where you can go to volunteer, where you can, to whom you can address your concerns about legislation, either at the federal or state level.
And we is the Second Harvest Food Bank, and that number was
610-434-0875, or call me for issues of advocacy issues at 484-893-1106.
And this is Janet Nye speaking.
Yes.
And then, in addition to volunteering for the local food pantry or soup kitchen, getting to know some of the people that frequent those places. And when I say frequent, I don't even mean going frequently, because not always are they returning clients. But in addition to that, walking in the crop walk or supporting the crop walk, because that broadens the ability of monies to be raised to combat the problem. And it's not just giving food to people who are in need, but it's also a matter of helping people to, especially in other countries, to grow food themselves in more productive ways and having clean water. Half of the world outside of the United States does not have clean water. And that's such a big, huge problem.
Now we're entering the home stretch of tonight's program, and we want to remind our listeners that if you have any questions or comments, you can give us a call at 610-758-8810. Again, that's 610-758-8810.
Thanks, Ray.
And I'd like to put in a plug for the Crop Hunger Walks that are happening on October 13th. They are happening throughout the Lehigh Valley, in Allentown, Bethlehem, Easton, Quakertown, Reading, other places, and as well as on October 6th up in Palmerton. People can go on the web at www.cropwalk.org and sign up. They can donate online. They can, come out and enjoy the camaraderie of walking together. And people who come out are not just Christian congregations. There are Jewish congregations. There are people who don't have an identified faith affiliation. There are people who are from schools and other organizations who are supporting these efforts. We have received in the Allentown Walk a wonderful grant for several years now from Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, and we're very grateful for that. But we also have wonderful funeral homes and congregations and others who donate extra money in addition to the walkers who go out and get their sponsorships. We have in the Allentown Walk, we have a 10K walk. It's a 6.2-mile walk that goes down through Allentown. But we also have a 1-mile, golden mile, that we call it, that I'm very, very pleased to be able to say that my husband, after he finished chemotherapy on Friday, he was on Sunday, 2 days later, able to walk in that 1-mile walk. This year, the Allentown Walk is pleased of the 2,000 crop hunger walks that happen throughout the nation. Our walk is being blessed by the presence of the president and CEO of Church World Service, which is the organization that benefits from our crop hunger walks. His name is Reverend John McCullough, and he will be with us for that walk. So we're very pleased that we were nominated for this wonderful blessing.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks.
One of the other things that just occurred to me with respect to what people can do is to be paying attention to what food is being served in their schools. I was talking with a mother from a local school district, and she was so pleased that the menu has changed. Kids are maybe having a little bit of difficulty adjusting to the new menus.
Right.
But that has been an enormous change across the country, that schools are starting to serve a different menu of fresh fruits and vegetables as opposed to some of the other things that they had been serving. And so getting education is a good point. And at Second Harvest, we have a program called Cooking Matters. And we have classes that we offer for children, teens, families to learn how to cook. And then we take them on a shopping tour and help them learn how to shop for more nutritious food at reasonable price.
Wow, that's great.
Janet is talking about school children and having menus in the schools that are more nutritious. I think they're also paying attention more now to vending machines in schools.
Yes.
And so that could be a help for the future. Now, that's for school children. What about senior citizens who struggle to put food on the table? What is Second Harvest doing for them?
We have a program that is funded through the Commodity Supplemental Food Program of the federal government. It's also part of the Farm Bill, by the way. And we call it Senior Boxes. We distribute 1,645 boxes of food to seniors in a six-county area every month. It's a huge boost for them. Many of them do qualify for SNAP. Not all of them do, but it's important that they get this box of food from us.
Do they pay anything for the food?
No.
So it's almost like a monthly Meals on Wheels for these people.
In one way, one respect, yes, you could say that. And just to note, our member agencies are not allowed to collect any kind of fees for the food. It's just not permitted.
So we're coming to the close of tonight's program, and I'm wondering, why do we hear so little about hunger in the United States in our news programs? Why don't we ever really hear it brought up?
Again, I don't think it's sexy enough, frankly. Let me just say that, again, I said that I was a member of the Self-Development of People program for Presbyterian Church USA, and we get funds from our One Great Hour of Sharing program offering that is taken up during the 49 days before Easter, during Lent. That program, that offering benefits three programs: Presbyterian Disaster Assistance, Presbyterian Hunger Program, and Self-Development of People. It's the disasters that touch people's heart because it's so visible, and it does make news because it's out of the ordinary. Unfortunately, very unfortunately, hunger is ordinary. So that kind of sexiness, if you will, isn't newsworthy usually. You see, I use the example of, you know, you have a 747 or some kind of plane that crashes, and say 200 people are on that plane. Imagine the fact that, okay, multiply it out, 100 747s crashing every single day. That's the kind of statistics we're talking about. But because it's so ordinary, so it happens all the time, people are just not keyed into, you know, it's not a catastrophe.
Yeah, it's not dramatic enough.
Yeah, I guess that's it.
Janet?
And our news media moves on so quickly.
Yeah.
We did get a fair amount of press and media coverage for the bill that was before the House of Representatives to cut the $39 billion. There was a fair amount of attention being paid. And in a blink of an eye, we had moved on to the problem that's out there now with
government
the budget
shutdown.
And, you know, the one party wanting to defund affordable health care and so on. So just that quickly, everything changed, and nobody's talking about SNAP anymore.
No, that's true. We all have ADHD.
Yes.
As far as the media are concerned.
What can we do to try and maintain awareness then?
Have programs like this.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously. But also, as Janet said, for people to volunteer, and then they get to know, have a relationship with people who are food insecure. It's all about relationships. It's about the people that we care about. And when you get to know somebody who lives in food insecure, you get a chance to care about them. Some people don't want to get that close, but that's, I think, what it takes.
That's a great point. And the closer you get to, the more you work with people, the more you realize that their stories are more similar to my stories than I would have thought.
Right. And the other thing is, it's a theological thing. The scriptures, at least the Hebrew, the Tanakh, and the Christian scriptures are very clear that God calls us to justice, that God calls us to care about those who are poor and those who are hungry. Look at what Jesus did. He healed people. He fed people, both you know, the word, but he also fed them physically. He cared about that, and he calls us to go and do likewise. I think, you know, it's a theological problem. We are so much about me, and not about caring for our neighbors as ourselves, loving our neighbors as ourselves, treating others as we would like to be treated.
I had an opportunity this summer to participate with Feeding America in a survey. We asked people who were at food pantries and soup kitchens to complete a survey for us, and it gave me a firsthand witness to the goodness of people who are helping other people with food, mm-hmm. and the way that the volunteers at these agencies, they work hard, but they're generous and compassionate. And at the same time, I saw the goodness of the people who were coming into the pantries and mm-hmm. the soup kitchens and their courtesies to each other. I recall one pantry that was using a number system. Number 13, come up. The woman misunderstood. She thought, he said 15. And so she came running up, and it wasn't the right time. And not only did she turn around and go back, but she apologized to number 13. It was, you know, it's a small thing. But it's the courtesy and the caring for your neighbor that is so very apparent in all of these pantries and soup kitchens that are a part of our network.
It is so refreshing to hear something positive, yes, about our society out there and about people treating people well. We have come to the end of Lehigh Valley Discourse. I'm John Pierce, along with Ray Schwab. And Ray, as always, we want to remind our listeners,
be gentle with our neighbors.
Thanks for listening. Good night.